Hello and welcome to Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Energy. I'm excited about today's interview. I'm interviewing my friend Laura Frontero, and she's just going to give us a wealth of information about gaining energy, like really decluttering, you know, our health and well-being, and it's going to be very exciting. Laura, welcome.
Hi, Leanne. I'm so happy to be back. I love being on your shows. You have the most fun topic of everyone that I interview with. It's so good.
Well, good. I'm glad you're here. We're going to have fun today.
Yes.
So I'm going to tell the audience a bit about you. So Laura Frontero is a functional medicine nurse practitioner who helps you restore energy, renew mental focus, release weight, and feel great in your body so you can get back to enjoying life. Works for me. She helps you accomplish this through her Vibrant You method. Clear inflammation, restore your gut microbiome, and bring balance to your body. Laura is also the creator of Restore Your Belly Health, Vibrant Health Mastered, and Your Permanent Weight Loss Solution. Now, for more than 20 years, Laura has guided patients and clients through the process of implementing lifestyle changes that transform and up-level health and wellness for peak performance. Now, when Laura isn't coaching or seeing patients in her clinic, she lectures at medical conferences and speaks from international platforms as a recognized expert in her field. Early in her medical career, Laura knew her true calling was prevention, and naturally her passion is supporting high-achieving men and women to embrace lifestyle changes for positive, healthy outcomes. That is, I love what you do, Laura. That's so cool.
Thanks.
So now, tell me, how did you get started doing that?
Oh, yeah. Well, as you mentioned, I'm a nurse practitioner. I actually worked in traditional allopathic medicine for 20 years and noticed that I wasn't really seeing my patients get better. I was prescribing a lot of drugs and ordering a lot of lab tests, and people were coming back year after year with kind of a collection of health problems and more drugs. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard, like, I feel like all I do is take medicine. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I had one patient who actually was non-compliant and refused to take the drugs that I prescribed to her. And she came back a year later and everything was better. And so I started questioning her, well, what are you doing? And she told me things like, well, I stopped eating inflammatory foods. And I'm going, what the heck is an inflammatory food? I've never even heard of that. She was telling me about things that she did in her life, like changing her body products and her cleaning products and changing her, you know, reducing stress and all these things. And I'm scratching my head going, well, how did your labs get better? And how did your health problems go away from that? You didn't even take a drug. Mm-hmm. And so that really kind of got me down my path of learning, how do you do this naturally? How do you heal the human body, balance the human body? How do you set yourself up for success? Because if you give your body what it needs and you take away what it doesn't need, mm-hmm. it can actually restore itself. And so that led me down the path of studying functional medicine and lifestyle medicine. And functional medicine is really about getting down to the root cause of the problem, eliminating that root cause so your body can take care of itself. Very different than traditional medicine, where we really focus on symptom treatment. So really, that's kind of the short story of how I ended up where I'm at. And now I get to help people actually restore their health for good, for permanent, and not with a whole bunch of drugs. So it's really, really been a wonderful journey.
I love that. That's fabulous. Now, the title of this online show is Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Energy. Tell me, what does Ace Your Space mean to you?
So my space is so important. It's so funny. I don't know. I've been married for 20 years to the same amazing husband, and he's got his space and I've got my space, and his space is kind of cluttery and messy and my space is really clean. In fact, we used to share an office. It's like a wall, the next wall over. Yeah. And his office is like a bomb went off in it, and I had to get out of there. And so we turned this room, this spare room, into my office, where it's peaceful and organized, and like, my space is everything. I cannot even make a big decision in my life unless my space is clear. Because if my space is clear, my mind is clear, my health is clear, like everything gets better. It's foundational. In fact, it's so important that I brought you into my programs to talk to my clients about cleaning up their space so we can get their health on track.
Well, you know, that's the thing, Laura, is like clutter is not, you think of clutter as like that pile in the corner, but you know, clutter is like anything that gets in the way of you and your goals and dreams, and it's all interconnected. You know, it's like if you've got a cluttered pile, you probably got a cluttered mind, you probably got a cluttered diet, all that kind of stuff.
100%.
I heard you speak, and the reason why I really wanted you on this series, well, I always want you on all my series, but the reason why I wanted you on this series, I heard you speaking a couple of weeks ago, and you were talking about like how many of your clients come to you because they don't have energy. And of course, that's one of the key tenets that we're talking about is reclaim your energy. And I'm like connecting the dots. I'm like, she needs to come and talk to us. Now, what are some of the foundational steps that people can take to kind of reclaim that energy, or maybe even, you know, get to what I would call like a level of vibrant health?
Yeah. So energy, low energy, fatigue, feeling like a slump by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, not having enough energy to get those big goals done. I mean, most of the people I talk to are women. Most of the women I help are somewhere between the ages of 40 and 70. Like that's the sweet spot of people who come to me. And I hear over and over again, I know that I have a purpose in this life more than what I have already accomplished. My kids or teenagers are raised or they're out of the house. And I have had this job, you know, for 20 years and I know I have more to give. I know there's more and I do not have the energy to create that thing that I so desire. Like women that I talk to want to leave legacy beyond what they've done with their families. Amazing. They've raised their kids, but there's something else that they want to leave in the world. Mm-hmm. And so this whole energy thing is really what people come to me for. And they just want that energy back that they had when they were in their 20s and their 30s and they could take on the world. And where did it go? Mm-hmm. So foundational, really foundational. I know there's a lot of things we can do lifestyle wise to help health. I mean, I guide people through detoxifying their environments, you know, skin products, cleaning products, and everything from the little plug-in scent things that you put in your home and candles that can really disrupt our internal body environment. But for today, we're really kind of focusing on food because foundationally, we eat all day long. We're exposed. We have to eat. We must do it. We put it in our bodies. And, you know, that whole concept of you are what you eat. And another step, it would be you are what you digest. So the food that we put in is so vital. And one of the spaces that you help people with is kitchen, of course. So kitchen declutter, and it all goes together, health, eating, kitchen declutter. You cannot possibly start to create healthy food if you've got a crazy cluttered kitchen. So foundational is really dialing in your food. Mm-hmm. Now for food, what I really teach people is you want to eat food in its most natural forms, in its most the form that it comes, you know, from the earth to us. So plants, animals, not eating processed, pre-made, ready to go, grab and go, because all those processed foods are actually laden with chemicals, preservatives. Anything that has a shelf life has got something man-made in it. There's one exception. There's one food on the planet that has a shelf life. Do you know what it is?
Honey?
Yes.
Oh, really? Okay. Right. I can't believe that.
That's it. That is the one food that has like an unlimited shelf life. So that one is safe to keep in your pantry. And of course, I mean, dry beans, really long shelf life. I mean, I think there's stories of taking dry beans out of Egyptian tombs and sprouting them. But as far as, you know, food, yeah. So really getting foundational with your food and eating really unprocessed food. So unprocessing your life, unprocessing your diet. So lots of plants, lots of whole healthy grains and lean meats. And here's the deal with meat. it really is important that it's antibiotic-free, pesticide, herbicide, chemical-free, free-range, wild-caught, hormone-free. All of those things are really important. And the beautiful thing is, I can remember, you know, even 5 years ago, that eating organic and eating clean was really expensive. Mm-hmm. That it was kind of like untouchable. People couldn't afford it. And it's becoming so mainstream now. I don't know if you have these stores in your area. We have grocery outlet stores. I think they're pretty much all over the country. They're really a discount store. They have an entire organic section. It's unbelievable. Like the average family can now afford to bring in healthier food options if you're willing to go look for them. Remember, you used to only be able to get the really good healthy stuff at Whole Foods, which the funny thing about Whole Foods is when you go in there and you buy one bag of groceries, it's like $100 later. It's hilarious. It's crazy.
Whole paycheck is what we
say. Yeah, it's crazy. You're paying for the experience when you go into Whole Foods. I mean, Whole Foods is an experience, right? You go in there and you're just, this is like food mecca. What's happening in here? But you can actually get really great. You can get a farm box sent to your doorstep from your local farmers. That's amazing. You can sign up nearly in every city in the United States. You can get meat delivered to your door from places like Butcher Box.
Right.
Which is beautiful meat. That's what we do. You can buy organic meat at Costco now. I mean, it's everywhere. So yeah, they have full. You know, here's my trick with really healthy fish. You can buy wild caught salmon and mahi and different types of fish from Costco in the frozen section. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, individually wrapped and easy to, you don't have to buy farmed fish. Farmed fish is full of antibiotics. And the you can imagine what it's like to be a farmed fish. You're in this terrible living environment, crowded, tons of antibiotics and whatever else they're throwing in the water. And they're stressed. These yes. fish are stressed out. So they're creating stress hormones in their body and you're eating it.
Yes. Well, that's like for any farmed animal, I mean, any like factory type farmed animal has those stress hormones. Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter and husband have been having a hankering for sushi lately. And I've ultimately stopped eating it because it's mostly farmed fish. Cause mm-hmm. you know, I live in San Diego. There's a sushi joint on every corner.
Yeah.
And most of it is farmed. I will only eat it now if I can find a place that actually does, wild caught mm-hmm. fish, which is harder to find and it's more expensive. So, you know, it's more, so sushi now has become more of a treat than a staple just right. because I don't want that. So that's the thing too. I'm not saying you have to eliminate everything all the time, but if you eat really healthy most of the time, mm-hmm. guess what? You have space to splurge.
Right.
You can actually handle it. Your body can get rid of the toxins and whatever you're eating if mm-hmm. most of the time you're eating healthy. And I'm sure that there's a cluttering parallel here somewhere where as long as you keep your space clean most of the time, you can have an occasional bomb go off and handle it. It's when the bomb's going off like every single day that it gets out of control.
Well, you know, interesting that you said that. I was speaking with one of my clients the other day and she had been working on a really huge project and the project ended. And she said, you know, her house had really gotten, you know, some of her areas of her house had really gotten out of control, but she was able to put them back into control quickly because she had that foundation of.
It's all about foundation. That's the word. Mm-hmm. Foundation in everything you do. So if most of your meals are foundationally healthy, then you're winning and you can handle, like, guess what? Because I eat like that most of the time, I can go to the ball game. Well, when COVID's over, I can go to the ball game and I can have a hot dog at the ballpark and I can have like whatever. I mean, my thing is to get a bag of peanuts and a hot dog and a big Coke and like enjoy that ball game. Like that is a thing.
That's it.
How often do you drink Coke now?
Right.
About four times a year because it's just not part of my being anymore. But when I want it, I can absolutely have it.
I love that. That's beautiful. Now, so when women start on a journey to improve their health and well-being or lose a bit of weight, something like that, you know, what pitfalls can they run into? I think that's one we talked about right then is like, you know, not having some kind of foundation or thinking it has to be all or nothing.
Right. So I think one of the biggest pitfalls that people have is not having a plan. So, and not setting a real goal. So I was just talking to a client yesterday and her goal was to exercise. And she, so the action plan was she was going to put a sticky note on her mirror so she'd see it every morning in the bathroom. And it was just going to say, exercise more. I mean, no. That is not setting you up for success. You've got to be specific. So I showed her how to create a specific goal, excuse me, which was on the days. So we literally wrote out a goal. On the days that she works from home, she will take a walk during her lunch break. On the days that she works from her office, she will come home and do an exercise class 5 days a week. So now she's got actual direction instead of exercise more. She's actually got a plan. So I think one of the biggest pitfalls is not planning for success. It's so easy. It's so easy to fail when you don't have that plan. And I, what I coached her on was you've got a back door open. So you need to slam that back door shut. So if you've got a back escape route open, I'm going to exercise more. Well, that's so wishy-washy. That could mean one day a week because you exercise 0 days a week. So you've actually just set yourself up to not actually create an actual change in your lifestyle. So shut the back door, don't give yourself a back door, and set an actionable goal, measurable, that you can actually execute and hold yourself accountable.
Like that, love it. That's perfect. So I'm kind of curious, what you just mentioned that you're very neat and your husband is maybe not quite as neat as you. Can you tell us more about like your relationship to physical clutter and like how it impacts your life, has impacted your life?
Yeah. So we've definitely created a way to coexist. So he's got the garage. It's crazy. I hardly go out there just to get like the extra toilet paper or something that we store out there. And he's got his office, which is crazy. The rest of the house, like he helps me keep that clean. I actually think he really enjoys being in a non-cluttered space and he just hasn't quite got there with his garage and his office yet. So we've created a way and I have unhooked from his spaces. So I do not get stressed or angry at him for what is happening in his spaces because you know what? It's not the Laura show here. We coexist in this marriage, in this relationship, in this house. So we've created a way for the majority of our space to be clean and workable and manageable. And I have to say, I've really come down a notch. I used to be such a crazy perfectionist, and now I actually allow a level of living to occur in my space. Like, I don't get all stressed out if there's something left on the counter like I used to. So part of it is letting go a little bit and finding letting go of perfectionism and finding workability for my family and me so I don't make everybody crazy. Right. Did I answer your question? I think I got off on a tangent.
You absolutely answered my question. But I'm going to ask you like another question. Like, can you give me an example of how like cluttering or decluttering or something like could impact something that you has clutter ever like impaired you from doing?
Oh, totally. Oh, I know what you're asking me. Yeah. So yes. So when I'm ready to make a big decision in my life, like a big decision, I literally am paralyzed if I've got like a massive mess. I have to, and that's in my space. Like I can make a big decision with the garage and my husband's office being a mess, but my space has got to be clean or I can't. And so I have an example of this. So a few weeks ago, I made a huge decision in my business. I made a massive decision to bring on a team of people to help me with a piece of my business that is just a whole new level of what I'm going to be creating. And it was a big commitment time-wise, and it was a big commitment financial-wise to hire these people. And I sat there, like I had the contract, I had three meetings with them. I I was ready to go. I had enrolled myself. This is what the next step. And I literally could not sign the darn contract and send the deposit. I just couldn't. I was paralyzed. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? Why can't I do this? And I'm looking around. I'm like, it's my closet. My closet. I literally, and I'm going to tell you, my closet had gotten kind of out of control. I'd been kind of ignoring it for about a year. Yep. And every time I go in there, I'm like, ugh, I really have to do something with this. So I basically just purged it. I purged my closet. I donated 5 huge trash bags of stuff. And not only that, I reorganized everything, like refolded everything. I shifted things around in dressers. I changed the way I store things. And then I sat back and I went, okay. And I signed the contract and sent the deposit and I was fine.
I love that. That's something. So guys, next time you've got a big contract to sign, go clean your closet first.
It helped. I don't know. What's the psychology behind that, Leanne? I mean, I do it, but I don't know why I do it.
So I think that when you have clutter in your space, even if you don't see it all the time, it's in there and it's weighing down on your mind. It's taking up like mental and physical bandwidth, and like your brain has to filter through that. Like it has to filter that out. Like, okay, this is not a stimulus that we need to worry about right now, but it's giving your brain more to filter through. And maybe you were just in a place where, you know, your brain is like, all right, if we're going to take this on, we need to be able to focus and be intentional, and we can't do it with these other stimuli that are out of control around us.
Totally. That makes perfect sense.
Doesn't that make sense? I kind of made that up, but I mean, not, you know.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Tie the lines together. Mm-hmm.
And it's a pattern in my life where I see myself, okay, I got to clean this out. Now I can be at peace. Yeah.
So it's like, you know that once you have those things taken care of, you can be intentional and focused on that thing, on that.
Totally. Yes. Love it.
Okay. There are a lot of things that we can conceive of. Well, you know, you may have actually answered this. I was going to say that we can conceivably do to declutter our health. Like you talked about, you know, clean up the, you know, the products we're using in our food and get this test and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, which of these, and I think you answered this, which of these things do we do first? We start with our food. You know, why we start with our food is because I think it kind of just impacts everything. Yeah. So if we're going to start with our food, if we're going to do some things in the kitchen, what are some things we can do to kind of up level our kitchen? Maybe some kitchen hacks, some things to make it easier.
I love kitchen hacks. So, and one of the biggest things that people tell me is that they don't plan ahead and they don't like to food prep. So, right. So this is like a barrier for people. They don't want to food prep and they don't take the time to kind of plan the weekly menu, or maybe they do it 1 week and then they fall off.
Right.
As things get busy, right? So so some simple hacks, if you get in the habit of doing some things every week and anytime you have the opportunity, then it can make food prep and planning not so daunting. So one of my biggest things is, okay, so foundational to health, like salads, right? Who doesn't eat salads and who doesn't understand that eating, you know, produce is going to be good for your gut health, for inflammation, for, you know, battling fatigue, for everything. So, but here's the problem. Like, seriously, everybody watching right now, if you hate making salads, just like acknowledge that right now, raise your hand. Because why do we hate making salads? It's a production. Like, we will literally get in our car and drive to down the street to a place where we can buy a salad, even though we have all the ingredients in our refrigerator, because making salads is a pain. You have to get everything out, cut and chop and prep a bunch of stuff. And it's just annoying. So why would you do that for just one salad? That's my question. And this is my hack. Don't ever do it for just one salad. So I have glass containers, big ones. I bought them at Costco with lids. and I line three to five of them up, depending on what my week looks like and what I'm going to be doing and how many ingredients I have. But I never just make one salad. So I'll make three to five at a time. The ingredients, once you cut them and prep them, stay perfectly fine. They don't go bad. And then you can just grab and go with these salads out of the fridge because you've got them stacked up, especially for people. You know, I work from home a lot and I am stacked back to back to back with client calls, with interviews like this. And I don't leave my house to go out and get lunch. And if something literally isn't ready, I'm like, in such a rush, I'm, you know, maybe grabbing a handful of nuts or something, or maybe I'm not eating when I should. And now I'm getting, you know, hangry and tired. And so having that prepped salad is the key. And you can do a different theme every week, right? So maybe one week you're going to make, you know, spinach, strawberry, and chicken salads, mm-hmm. and you just get them all prepped and stick them in the fridge. And maybe another week you're going to do Italian style salads with olives and artichoke hearts and some prosciutto or something and arugula. And maybe the next week you're going to do garden salad theme. I mean, there's endless opportunity, but just pick one and eat that week.
Yeah, that's so easy. And I can even think, like, if you did something like, well, in your glass container or something, you know, you put the dressing on there and you shake it up so that, you know, is like, it mixes better that way.
Yeah. So that's what I do. I actually make a batch of salad dressing every week. And, and what I do is I have another, so I'll have a second container that I put in there. And then when I actually go to eat the salad, I dump the salad dressing in, put the lid on and shake it up. And yep. then it's like a totally tossed, perfectly dressed salad. But I have a hack for you for salad dressing because, you know, one of the things that we get to do when we're cleaning up our diet is get rid of processed food. Well, mm-hmm. salad dressings that are pre-made are processed. If you look at the ingredient list, there's words you can't even pronounce on there. Yes. And there's always sugar in salad dressing. I hate to break it to everybody, but it's usually like the second or third ingredient. Mm-hmm. Take a look at the salad. Just when you're done watching this video, go into your kitchen and grab all your salad dressings and see how many of them have sugar. Mm-hmm. Now, sugar comes with about 50 different names. So you got to, sometimes it's sneaky. They sneak it in there and they try to trick you. But sugar is generally in most salad dressings. So all I do is I take a canning jar. I don't measure anything. I just eyeball it. My favorite salad dressing of all time. I just take some olive oil. And by the way, olive oil should be eaten cold. If you cook olive oil, you actually destroy it and oxidize it. And it's actually not as healthy for you. So you want to cook with an oil that's a higher smoke point, like avocado, coconut, ghee, grass-fed butter, something like that. So with my olive oils, and you know, there's so many fun artisanal olive oil shops where you can go and get fun olive oils from around the world. So get your olive oil. And then I take apple cider vinegar. So olive oil, apple cider vinegar, and then I take Dijon mustard and I just take a couple spoonfuls and drop it in the canning jar. If I'm getting really fancy, I might chop up a shallot or crush a clove of garlic and throw it in there. So throw it all in there. You might grind some pepper in there and then I just shake it up and there's my salad dressing. And here's the key about the Dijon mustard. So you know how olive oil and vinegar separates so quickly? Dijon mustard actually helps hold it all. So you get it almost like it emulsifies it naturally. So it stays mixed.
Okay.
It's so brilliant. It works so beautifully. Oh, another trick. Sometimes I'll make that same thing, but I make it with balsamic vinegar instead of apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
And that's great too. So it's such an easy thing. So I make one batch a week and use it for all my salads.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's great. Mm-hmm. So any other kitchen hacks that you really like?
Yes. So my favorite one.
Okay. I love kitchen hacks. That's why I'm just gonna
keep asking. So this one is fun. So tomato paste.
Yeah.
So you and I were talking earlier, tomato paste adds umami is what it's called. It's another element of flavor that is, you get that same thing from soy sauce, ketchup is umami, tomato paste. And basically you open a can of tomato paste and you use it for a recipe. Like it's really great in sauces and stews and soups. And so you use a tablespoon or two and then you've got this can. And so you get that out and you stick it in a little Tupperware container and throw it in the fridge. And the next time you look at it, it has mold growing on it, right? I don't know how much tomato paste I've thrown away in my life because of that. So here's the hack. So instead of that, And this is even easier than putting it in ice cube trays, because you might be thinking, oh, just put it in ice cube trays and put it in the fridge. No, I have something even easier than that. Okay. So take a piece of parchment paper or wax paper, whatever you have, and take dollops of the tomato paste and dollop them on, about a tablespoon per dollop, and space them out enough so that once you have it all laid out, you can fold the paper and fold it all up into a nice square package and throw that in the freezer. And so you have these little, and you almost have like little pancakes of tomato paste. And so when you're making a sauce or a soup or a braise or something, you just take it out of the freezer, pull one off, throw it in. It defrosts right in whatever you're cooking, and you never throw away tomato paste ever again.
I love that. That is so great. You know what I started doing, which kind of works, but I really like this idea too. I started trying to find it in the tube, so you could just kind of squeeze it out of the tube.
Yeah. Yes. So you know what happened to me when COVID hit and I was looking for tomato paste, it was wiped out on the store shelf. I cook with a lot of tomato paste. I cook a lot at home and I use it for that umami. I put it in all kinds of things. I was telling you, I even put it in turkey meatballs because it like brings up the flavor. Mm. I found the tubes because that's all they had. Yeah. And I was like, well, I'm just going to buy these tubes, I guess, because they don't have the cans. And it's working great. I love it. So now I have both. I've got tubes and cans.
but when you're using the can, you've got that hack. You know what I found really interesting. I use coconut milk in my coffee. I don't use dairy. And that's what, like, the coconut milk was all gone. I'm like, what the heck? You know, it was so strange at the beginning of COVID, what was there and what was gone. It was very strange.
And we use a lot of coconut milk as well. Mm-hmm. And my husband was just going to Costco the other day and I was like, see if they have coconut milk again, get a flat of coconut, the canned ones. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I do. Every time I see it, I grab it. I just got a couple of cans the other day. So you know what? We're starting with food and what we're eating. But you know what? I'm thinking about this. It's really not just us that's eating this food. It's like, we have our, like, our gut microbiome, our, you know, it's how we digest food. So what steps can we take to make it easier to, you know, feed our little critters and, you know, to digest better and to have better gut health?
Yeah, I'm so excited that your audience wants to hear about gut health, because that's my jam. And I feel like it's hard, you're hard pressed not to know what gut health is anymore. I think that we now, I even see on TV, you know, all kinds of commercials for probiotics and, you know, gut. So the gut microbiome is the center of your immune system. It is where your immune system lives. Your gut bacteria, actually, if you didn't have them, you would die. Your gut bacteria make neurotransmitters for your brain. So think serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine. Mm-hmm. Your gut makes hormones. Your gut makes vitamins. Your gut digests foods. So these bacteria have a lot of jobs to do. And they live in symbiosis. They live with us. Yes. they need us and we need them.
Right.
And there's actually more, there's more bacteria cells in your body than human cells, by the way. They outnumber us, actually, which is kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. The amount of DNA in your body that is from your bacteria is greater than your human DNA. Wow. Yeah, it's amazing. Mind-blowing. And we're just, you know, we're in it in our infancy of understanding the gut microbiome. But the funny thing is that Hippocrates said a gazillion years ago that all health starts in the gut. So he knew something. And then we ignored him for thousands of years, and now we're back on board. So as humanity goes, right?
Yes.
So for gut health, some foundational things you can do for your gut. Number one, take a good probiotic. And you want to take something, so I don't recommend you buy your probiotics at Costco. I don't recommend you buy your probiotics at Walgreens. Most of those do not have live strains. It's dead by the time you get to it. You get to take a practitioner-grade, medical-grade probiotic. Those you can purchase from practitioners like me. You can go to my website and go to the shop button, and you can see there's an e-store there where you can get probiotics. And I'm not attached. Like, find a brand that is really good and works. I mean, really do your research on probiotics. I don't buy my probiotics from the drugstore anymore. Mm-hmm. Because I want them to be live in there. The next thing is to eat cultured foods. So, you know, every single culture across the world has some form of cultured food that has been a part of their culture for thousands of years. So, for example, in Korea, they have kimchi. Think about kraut from European countries. Right. Think about miso from Asian countries. So these are all fermented foods. And fermented foods feed your good bacteria and are also full of good bacteria as well. So eat fermented foods. And the beautiful thing is that the gut microbiome, you know, has caught on so much that there's actually fermenting kitchens in nearly every city. You can buy fermented foods at your Whole Food Sprouts or health food stores and farmers markets. You'll always find people there who are selling fermented foods, and they're super easy to make on your own. Mm-hmm. I just made a batch of dill pickles that were fermented, not brined in vinegar, but actually fermented. And it's so easy. It's salt and water and dill and spices, garlic, and a bunch of cucumbers, and you throw it on the counter for a week and you have pickles. It's amazing.
You know, that's funny that you mentioned that. I have this friend that she's gotten me into watching these, like, on Netflix, these Asian, they're mostly Korean, these, like, they're kind of like really like romantic comedy, dramedy, whatever. They're I love them. I can't get enough of them. And like, they're always eating kimchi. So now I buy kimchi and eat them. I'm like, I
you
love
like the spicy?
I love kimchi. Yeah.
You so like the spice?
I get it a little bit milder, but I mix it with everything. And it's like, I'm so enamored of these Korean shows. I'm like, I've got to eat the kimchi. So
healthy for you. So something else you can do is eat foods that are loaded with digestive enzymes. So support digestion in your gut microbiome. You can take a digestive enzyme. Again, I would recommend a practitioner grade digestive enzyme, mm-hmm. or you can eat foods that are high in enzymes. So think about papaya and kiwi. You can just Google like foods high in digestive enzymes and you'll find, yeah. So digestive enzymes are great. And believe it or not, I mean, this goes without saying, stress reduction actually helps your gut microbiome. So reducing stress is huge. And by decluttering your space and your mind and your health, you're reducing stress. But your gut microbiome is actually quite sensitive to stress, and you kill bacteria off with stress for sure.
I did not know that, but I mean, it's like clutter. It's all connected.
It's totally connected. And then the other big tip I would say is sugar. So raise your hand if you're a sugar addict. I'm going to keep my hand up, but yes, I've struggled with it my whole life. I'm definitely a sugar addict, and it's a choice every day to not binge on sugar. And sugar actually feeds bad bacteria in the yeast in our gut, and that overcrowds and kills off the good bacteria. So sugar, just think of it as fertilizer for the bad guys in your gut. So really getting rid of sugar is really important to healing gut. So those are some big tips for gut health.
I like those. Those are great. All right. Got a couple more questions for you today. How old would you be if you didn't know how old you were?
So I'm pretty sure I'm still 25 years old. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I don't, your audience won't believe me if I tell you my real age, but you got to do the math, because I've been a nurse practitioner for over 20 years. So I'm definitely not 25 years old, because I didn't start doing that when I was 5.
Yeah.
So yes. This year, in a few months, is going to be my 48th birthday. I cannot.
You go, girl.
I know. I can't believe it, but this is a testament to what healthy living will do for you. So, did I forget to say that being healthy retains your youth?
There we go. I mean, that's it. It's certainly better than Botox.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm going with 25. I like 25. My daughter's 15, and she was asking me the other day, "How old are you, Mom?" And I told her, and she's like, "Really?"
Now you can just say you're 25 and just forget that you even know how old you are.
Well, you know what she said? "How come you look younger than all my friends' moms?"
Oh, goodness.
And I'm actually older than most of her friends' moms, because I had her when I was in my 30s. Yep. So, yeah.
Honey, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all in what you eat. I love that one. Now, here's another question for you. You're about to fight in a boxing title match. You're entering the ring. What song are they playing?
Oh my gosh. Oh, you did not tell me you were going to ask this. Okay. What's my song?
Yeah.
My song. It's in my head and I can't think of the song, but it's called, oh, I can't think of it. So I can't think of my favorite song right now because you totally put me on the spot. And so I'm going to go with This Girl Is On Fire.
Okay, you know, that is a really good song to enter to. I like that one. I can see you striding in now. That's perfect. Yes. Okay, I think you have a gift for the audience.
I do. Correct? So yes. We've talked a lot about food today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And really foundationally with restoring your health, balancing, getting your energy back, losing weight, you know, getting rid of the brain fog, balancing your gut microbiome, getting rid of inflammation, fitting in your skinny jeans again. I mean, all of this comes down to start with food. I mean, there's a lot more we can add on to support, but it starts with food. So I have, people always ask me, what should I eat? So what I created was a guide that's basically eat this, not that. So it's an easy food swap guide. And it's really easy because it's like a one pager that you can put on your refrigerator and you can take it with you shopping. So when you go to buy, you're in the shop, the grocery store, and like, okay, I need to buy this, this, and this. Well, what should I buy instead? Or what should I have instead? So really it's foundational for reducing inflammation and healing gut. If you use this foundation, you will absolutely start to shift your health. Believe it or not, you can shift the good bacteria and start healing within 24 to 48 hours of shifting your diet. It's that your gut is that quick to respond to food. So easyfoodswaps.com is my easy food swap guide. And I think you're going to have a link for it here. And it's where I start all my clients. Mm-hmm. Start here, and you can use it to do a declutter in your kitchen, which is the best part because you can take it and go into your pantry and just start pulling stuff out. Like, nope, this isn't on the list. Nope, this isn't on the list.
I love that. That's so good. Yeah, there's going to be a link down to the to Laura's gift and also information on how to get in touch with Laura, how to find you. So,
yes,
so we will get that covered. All right. Before we go, I want to ask you, can you leave people with one action they can take to help them declutter their life? What would that one action be?
Oh gosh, I feel like we talked about so many today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is probably not what you're expecting me to say. So the one action that I'm inviting everyone watching this video right now to do is to commit. Is to commit that this is the last time you're gonna watch an online show or a video series and not execute.
I love that.
You're gonna commit today to making the change, to using the tools. Leanne is setting you up with everything you need for success on this show. I guarantee it. I know Leanne, you're walking away with massive tools. So commit right now that you're actually going to execute them. It starts there. If you are not committed to your vision, you're not going to change your life. It starts with vision. So commit to it.
I love that. I well said. I couldn't have said it better. So, you know, Laura, I've so enjoyed spending this time with you today. Thanks so much for being on the series.
I love interviewing you with you, Leanne. You're so easy to talk to and it's so much fun. And I can't wait to get a transcription of this. This is a good video.
I know it is a good video. It's going to be great. I know. And I know the audience, I know you guys are enjoying this just as much as you're having just as good a time looking at this as Laura and I are having here doing this. And audience, I want you to check out your email. Because tomorrow we've got another great Acer Space interviews. I don't know if we're going to be talking about our little gut microbiome friends. I think you have to be here for this one, but I guarantee you there's going to be some more great information. So check that out. And until we see you tomorrow, thanks for being here. Bye-bye.